This audio is a reading of the popular level version of my paper titled, Made for Each Other, Recovering the Beauty of Eve's Creation. It offers a simplified overview for those wanting to explore what it means that Eve was formed from Adam's side, not as a technical anatomy lesson, but as a deeply theological statement about union, equality, and divine design. Please note that for smoother listening, certain elements, such as section headings, footnotes, and the full bibliography, have been omitted. I encourage you to visit defendtheword.com to access the written version of this paper, including additional resources and study tools. If you're interested in the full academic treatment of this subject, you'll find the companion scholarly paper posted alongside it. D. Jean Williams, Jr., Ph.D. Defend the Word Ministries North Point Church Introduction. Most of us grew up hearing that God made Eve from Adam's rib, but what if there's more to the story? When we look closely at the original Hebrew and the flow of Scripture, we find a richer picture. Eve wasn't just made from a rib. She was formed from Adam's side. That detail may seem small, but it speaks volumes about God's design for unity, equality, and covenant love. This study invites you to rediscover Eve's origin, not as a minor detail, but as a deeply intentional act that reveals God's heart for relationship. We'll explore why it matters that she came from Adam's side, how that shapes our understanding of marriage, and what it tells us about Christ and His church. Not just a rib, a shared side. The Hebrew word used in Genesis 2 verse 21 is elwithmekron, which means side, not just rib. In fact, this word is used throughout the Bible to describe things like the side of a hill or the sides of the temple. God didn't take a leftover bone. He took from Adam's very side to form a partner who would walk beside him. Why does this matter? Because it reminds us that woman was not made from man's head to rule over him, nor from his feet to be beneath him, but from his side to be with him. That's the picture of covenant love, mutual, equal, and deeply connected. Unity in creation, unity in marriage. When Adam sees Eve, his response isn't clinical, it's poetic. This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Genesis 2 verse 23, he recognizes that she is not other, but part of himself. Genesis goes on to say, and the two shall become one flesh. That phrase sets the foundation for biblical marriage, two people becoming one in covenant union, mirroring the unity they were created from. This isn't just about romance, it's about reflection. Marriage is designed to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. Paul draws this connection in Ephesians 5 when he says, this mystery is profound. It refers to Christ and the church. Ephesians 5 verse 32, a foreshadowing of the cross. The Gospel of John tells us that when Jesus died, a soldier pierced his side. From that wound flowed blood and water. Many early Christians saw this as a symbolic birth of the church from the side of the second Adam. Just as Eve was formed from Adam's side during a deep sleep, so too the church was born from Christ's side as he entered death. These aren't random details, they're woven into the fabric of Scripture to point us to something greater, that life and covenant come from sacrifice and love. A scientific surprise. Interestingly, even modern science gives a nod to the possibility of Eve's creation from Adam. Genetically speaking, a man's body contains both X and Y chromosomes. To create a female, you'd only need to duplicate the X chromosome. God didn't need to start from scratch. He formed woman from what already existed, echoing the idea that she was meant to be a counterpart, not a copy. Correcting the MIS, let's address a few myths. Myth 1, men have one less rib than women. Not true. Both men and women have the same number of ribs, 12 pairs. This misunderstanding likely arose from a literal reading of Genesis without anatomical knowledge. But God's creative act in Genesis 2 is theological, not a surgical explanation of human anatomy. Myth 2, God used a rib because ribs grow back. While it's true that certain bones, like ribs, have some regenerative potential, this isn't emphasized in the biblical account. The focus is not on biological recovery but on symbolic meaning, what it says about union, identity, and purpose. Myth 3, rib is what the Bible says. Actually, the Hebrew word used in Genesis 2 verse 21 is elwithmekron, which more accurately means side. This term is used elsewhere in Scripture to describe architectural features like the side of the tabernacle or a structure, conveying strength, support, and symmetry. God didn't just remove a bone. He took from Adam's side to form a partner, emphasizing shared substance, mutuality, and covenantal unity. Conclusion: Eve wasn't an afterthought. She was the completion of a masterpiece, the final movement in God's creative symphony. Her origin from Adam's side reveals God's desire for relational unity, covenant love, and mutual dignity. More than that, her story points us to the gospel. Just as Eve came from Adam's side, the church was born from Christ's side. In both cases, what came forth was not just a partner, but a bride, formed from love, destined for union. So next time you hear that Eve came from a rib, remember, she came from his side. And that makes all the difference.